Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And welcome to everybody who is also watching us via live stream or is watching this later on our recording. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as was read in the psalm today, there is a lot for us to despair over. There are so many things that flood our minds. Father, we pray that by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd help us to look to your Son in these days. That we would see Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Revelation, chapter 19. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen, white, pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of fury, of wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come and gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in his presence had done signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, who had received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped its image. These were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on a horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Wow. You know, as terrible as the wrath sounds, which it is, it's wrath. There are times where I look forward and hope to see this day. Why? Why do I want to see this day? Because as God's people, as his Christians, we do realize that in this world, we're not home. This is not our heavenly home. Whatever things are filling your mind, whatever things in the back of your mind might be giving you despair, maybe they're in the forefront of your mind. Maybe you're even more afraid, yet again, to send your children to school. Because once again, we have another school shooting in our nation. Once again, it's overly politicized. Where's the care? Where's the compassion? Where's a talk for solution? But then again, too, what is the ultimate answer in this scripture from Revelation, Jesus comes riding on a horse, coming to bring warfare against evil. I know it sounds terrible that all these people, all these men are going to have their flesh eaten by birds, and that a beast is going to be thrown forever into a lake of fire. Well, I actually look forward to that beast being thrown into the fires of hell. I can't wait for Satan and his accursed demons to be put into hell forever and ever. I can't wait for Jesus to show up and finally bring us to that new creation of peace. But it's Palm Sunday. And as much as I want to look forward to what Christ will do to bring all evil to an end, the thing we must remember as God's people and His church is that before Christ comes to bring wrath on all evil, He first came to bring reconciliation to His creation. And when we think about the evil in this world and we want to cast judgment, we have to first think about Christ riding on a donkey and why He first came on a donkey instead of on a horse prepared for war. What is the significance of a donkey? Let's look at the scripture from John. The next day, a large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." So first of all, what we realize, we have to realize that the scriptures, the Bible in particular, is an amazing book. Why the Bible over other religious books? Well, the scriptures were actually historical accounts written by people who witnessed these things. John witnessed all these people with their palm branches shouting Hosanna as Jesus sat on the donkey. He saw this. And he actually goes in even before this text explaining more about why they gathered. Because Jesus had gained a lot of momentum as far as crowds following Him, because you know what? News spread after a guy was dead for 4 days, Lazarus, and Jesus rose him from the dead. People saw this, and they were talking, and they were gaining momentum here. And so they go out and meet Jesus as He's coming to Jerusalem for this Passover feast. And then He quotes prophecy. So not only do you have historical accounts written down, but 550 years before this day, where Christ rode a donkey, about 550 years before that, a prophet named Zechariah comforted the people of Israel, saying, "Fear not, O daughter of Zion. Zion is the mountain on which Jerusalem rests. Behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." What is the significance of a donkey now, too? Well, it fulfills a prophecy. But also, a donkey is not just some beast of burden. But compared to a horse, You want to ride a majestic horse that's powerful and strong and fast if you're going to bring battle and go to war. But there's a significant thing here also, a foreshadowing of donkeys in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you just two quick examples here. Number one, there was a prophet in the book of Numbers. And I wouldn't say that he is the gold standard of prophets in the history of the Bible. But his name was Balaam. Balaam was asked by a pagan king to come and curse God's people. And to do so for money. Excuse me. So Balaam got onto a donkey and decided to walk, or decided to ride his donkey on his way to go curse God's people. And on the road, the donkey suddenly stops and will not budge and is stubborn. And Balaam gets out and he starts kicking his donkey and screaming at it and beating it and wondering why it won't budge. And the donkey then opens his mouth. God speaks through the donkey, and the donkey says, "Why are you hitting me? Can't you see that I'm saving your life?" And Balaam looks up and realizes that the donkey stops because God has sent the angel of death to take Balaam's life. The wrath of God was waiting for Balaam. Had he continued, and the donkey stopped. And Balaam realized, wow, I came that close to dying. The other thing that I love about this story as a pastor is this. If God can speak through a donkey, then I know that God can speak through me as well. There's some smirks. There we go. Okay. Yes, God can. If God can use the donkey, he can use me as well. Also, another significant time where a donkey meant peace was when David was an old man. King David was about ready to die. He had many sons, and one named Abijah wanted to proclaim himself to be king. But it was David's plan that Solomon would sit on his throne. Abijah went off to another city and proclaimed himself to be king, and they were going to go into Jerusalem together. Before that happened, David had Solomon ride through Jerusalem, being proclaimed as the new king, riding on a donkey. Proclaimed himself as king, riding on a donkey, a king coming in peace. Now, to foreshadow wrath, the wrath of God, afterwards, when word got to Abijah and his followers that Solomon would have ridden through Jerusalem as king, they feared. They knew that they were in trouble. And yes, just like a mafia movie, David then told Solomon, "All right, here's who you're going to hit. Here's your threats. Here's all the threats to your throne. Go and take them out." But as far as God's people in Jerusalem were concerned, Solomon came in peace, riding through the streets on a donkey. As much as we want to see evil have its day ended, Jesus came through the streets of Jerusalem, riding on a donkey that had never been ridden before. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see what we are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after Jesus." And so, Jesus is not only riding on that donkey to proclaim himself as king. As the people are waiting, coming in peace, proclaiming himself as king, fulfilling that prophecy. But he is also taking steps to the cross because he knows that his enemies are enraged. How did Jesus go from being hailed as the king of Israel, David's royal son, the crowd shouting out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us," to that Friday, carrying a cross? Jesus was driving that whole thing. He knew what he had to do. So he knew that as the Pharisees watched him being hailed as the king, he knew that he was stirring up their anger to drive them to have him arrested. Maybe that would be during the Passover. I have to remember that when I feel the hardship of this world myself, as much as I long for the heavenly place that Christ has prepared for me, as much as you may long for that heavenly place that Christ has prepared for you, as much as you may long for evil to be brought to justice, Jesus brought our evil to justice first by coming peacefully, not bearing a sword. His followers were not on horses bearing swords, but bearing palm branches, because he first came to reconcile you and me and all who believe in him, to die on the cross and to take our place. There's a lake of fire waiting for those who will not see, who will not believe, who will not repent. But we must remember that when we look at the sinners in this world, that God rejoices when they turn and believe. That God rejoices when they think about his son lifted up on a cross, dying, and say, "Father, for the sake of your son, forgive me, love me, renew me." And Christ does this. And so, yes, we have to endure in this world. But Christ has endured much, much more. He took the weight of your sins and my sins and the sins of all people to bring us peace before God. The angel of death that was waiting for Balaam was stopped by a donkey filled with the Holy Spirit trying to bring peace and reconciliation with Balaam. Solomon was set apart to rule God's people, and he rode on a donkey coming in peace for the city of Jerusalem. Jesus rode through the streets of Jerusalem as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming not with a sword, but with tears in his eyes, weeping over the city where he was going to be crucified and die for the sins of all humanity. And that's what Jesus first came to do. And so, as we look to this world and sometimes we despair, the issue is that we look so much and focus so much energy on everything that is wrong and everything that is broken. And perhaps we even focus too much on our own failures, our own shortcomings, our sin. We forget that, you know what? Jesus died on a cross as the perfect sacrifice. He forgives our sins. I can look in the mirror and I can forgive myself. We forget that. You have permission to forgive yourself because of what Christ has done for you. But we want, but we, the devil just gets us to focus on everything that is wrong, gets us to focus on our own unrighteousness, tells us that we can't be forgiven, lets us, it just makes us see how things are just falling apart all the time, and we fall into despair. Because we're looking too much at the shortcomings. We're looking too much at the failures. We're looking too much at evil. Some Greeks came to Jesus at a feast. And they said, "We would like to see Jesus." Now, why would Greek have? There was a distinction between Greeks and your Jews. Remember that at that point in time in history, there were Jews who were still living away from Judea because they had been dispersed throughout the world because the people of Israel were taken captive, were overthrown. Judea was taken captive and overthrown. Some Jews returned to the area, some stayed. And so there were some Greeks who learned about the one true faith. They learned about God. And so they wanted to come and they wanted to go to celebrate the Passover. And they heard about this guy, Jesus. Could he be the Messiah? And they wanted to see Jesus. We need to follow that example. We would like to see Jesus. We might not get to see him face to face in glorious everlasting life today. But you have come to receive his word. You are about to go to his table and receive his body and blood for forgiveness of sins in this mysterious meal, because in with and under the bread and the wine, some way, somehow, through a miracle, Christ is present there. Why? Because his word says so. We take it for the forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit dwells in you now. So even now, God is with us. The devil wants to distract and tear you away from this good news. But if we focus our eyes and remember what Jesus has done, look at that cross. He said, "I am forgiven." And not only that, did Christ stay dead on that cross? No. He rose again. And because you've been baptized into a death like his, you will be raised into a new life as he has been raised too. His mercies are new every day. And that is who you are. You are people not destined for God's wrath, but destined for his peace. You are his children, set aside for salvation. You are his children that he loves and cherishes. And even though there is so much evil in this world, he protects you and he weeps for you. And everything that happens to us is ultimately for his good and gracious will. As it says in Romans 8, everything happens for the glory of God and for the benefit of those he loves. I look forward to the day when Christ rides on the horse. But until then, dear church, you must remember that our Savior came and his will was to bring reconciliation first, not wrath. Reconciliation first, then wrath. And so as Christ came to work that ministry of reconciliation for us, we are called to live that life of compassion and love for our neighbor. And perhaps that opportunity that God would work through us in order to bring more people to to reconciliation, the gospel of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose for us, who came in peace, riding on a donkey, to save you and to save me from our sins. Amen?
Amen. Amen.